There we go. Turning off my cell phone. One moment. All right, with that, can I have roll call?
Director Muthart?
Present.
Director Ohilski?
Here.
Director Storm?
Present.
Vice President Wright?
Here.
President Baltimore?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, next item, can I have a report out of closed session?
Yes, President Baltimore, members of the board, staff, and audience, the board did go into closed session at 6 p.m. in regards to two categories of closed session items. First, under Government Code Section 54956.9D1, existing litigation, we discussed the status of the ISJ and in regards to the Los Osos bankruptcy, they heard a brief update regarding some items that were outstanding. Second, we went into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 for conference with labor negotiators. Myself and Kathy Kidley being in negotiators, the employee organization being SLOSIA, they heard a report but took no reportable action. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions, comments from board? No?
No.
All right, good. All right, before I begin item number 7 on the public hearings, one, it's great to see a lot of faces I haven't seen before. And so with that, just want to go over a little bit of how the meetings are run. And so when we have, it's come to my attention that a lot of people are here for the topic of a dog park, whether for or against, just the topic. That topic is not on our agenda, okay, so there's not a specific item about the dog park on the agenda. You are welcome to speak about the dog park during public comment for items not on the agenda. That's item number 8, okay? And our bylaws here, how we like to conduct ourselves here in Los Osos, is that you start, so I can see how many people gauge the time of, because we only have so much time, and if we have public comment is part of that time. And so we like to have people stand up and sort of, you know, if you see there's a long line, you can sit down, and then as they come on up, stand up so I can know when the end of the line comes. And you come to the podium, and we ask that you state your name and where you're from. And then I don't know, it depends on how long. When we budget our time for our meetings and our agenda, when we set the agenda, we typically leave a maximum of 30 minutes for public comment during the items. And so when it comes down to item number 8, public comments for items not on the agenda, I'll probably ask to see how many people want to speak, because that will dictate whether you have 3 minutes, 2 minutes, or 1 minute, that type of thing, so that we're not here for 4 or 5 hours. And so just trying to be transparent and let you know how things are running. So again, you are welcome to make a comment on item number 8. Start sort of lining up back by the speakers, and you state your name and where you're from, and then I will let you know how much time we have. But there is not a... that's good. Yeah, no, I've 28 hands we counted are, appears to be in favor of a dog park. All right, with that, I'd like to get started. Oh, yes. On item number 7, which is public hearings. With that, we'll have reading of the item from our general manager.
Hi, good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you tonight is to conduct public hearings for each assessment and to consider all objections or protests against levying the following assessments and collections in the tax rolls. We are doing Baybridge Estates, the annual service charge, Vista de Oro, the annual service charge assessment, the drainage assessment, and the wastewater assessment district number 1. The various assessments are placed on the tax roll for collection. They are collected, of course, through the taxes. In accordance with the legislation and the county's rules and regulations, these resolutions that are before you this evening need to be adopted to legally place these items on the tax rolls. This is standard procedure. You have done. You did this last year, which I have learned from staff because I was not here, and we are again doing this year. You will conduct public hearings. There on the assessment district number one, there is a $5 per parcel service charge, which covers trustee fees, assessment fees, and assessment processing fees. And this is done in, you can charge up to $50, and this is done in accordance with the Municipal Improvement Act of 1913. Due to the volume of, there is a list that is available that shows everyone that is being assessed. Due to the volume of the list, it is with the clerk this evening should anyone wish to review that. It is not included in the printing. The assessments that are subject of these resolutions, as I stated, are Bay Ridge. The annual service charge will be $373 per parcel. Vista de Oro, it's $216 per parcel. On the wastewater, bond debt service 2002, it's $224.56 per parcel. And then on your drainage, it's $16 per parcel. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions, but this concludes my report.
Okay, just one item of clarification. So we are going to open and close each item 7A, 7B, 7A1, 7A2, 7A3, 7A4.
That is
so
correct.
Each item you'll have a chance, the public will have a chance to come up and make a comment on the hearing item. So just to let it be known. So with that, any questions or clarifications from the board before we open up public hearing on the item? No? Okay. With that, I'd like to open up public hearings for item 7A1, Bay Ridge Estate Annual Charges. And so anybody wishing to comment on that item, please come forward. Seeing none, I'd like to close public hearing on item 7A1, Bay Ridge Estate Annual Charges.
And you can either take the votes on these individually or in one motion at the conclusion of all of the public hearings.
Right now, I'd like to take them all and one motion at the end of public hearings. All right. With that, I'd like to open up public hearings for item 7A2, Vista de Oro Annual Charges. With that, anyone in the public? Seeing none, I would like to close public hearing on item 7A2, Vista de Oro Annual Charges. Now I'd like to open up public hearing, item 7A3, Wastewater Assessment District Number 1 Assessments. With that, public hearing is open.
Richard Margetson, in the staff report, under the description in the little square chart, it says total revenue from this assessment $1,167,490.42, and it's $224.56. Per single-family residence. Are we missing something there? It's on more than just single-family residence. I think the description's wrong. And then that dollar amount in total, the $1,167,000, isn't matching what's budgeted for this year. And I'm curious if that $224.56 is the all-inclusive, or there has been, for the county collecting that and processing it. Maybe Rob can address that, or somebody can.
All right. Thank you. Seeing no other public comment, I'd like to close public hearing on item 7A4, Drainage Special Tax. Bring it back to the board for discussion.
Well, does staff have a comment on?
Yes, with regards to the additional, that does not, the dollar value you're putting on is only the dollar value that you will get. The county has the right to put on administrative charges in order to make sure that it gets on the tax rolls.
Any other comments? Dr. Moonhart? No?
had the same question, so.
Director Hilsky.
Is that working?
Yes.
Just the question about the charts, and there is another discrepancy between the agenda and the staff report because they're in a different numerical order, which threw me off for a moment there. But regarding the chart on the second page of the staff report, where it does say 600 wastewater, and it talks about per single-family residence, when actually you get to the resolution, it talks about per parcel. So we do need some clarification there. I mean, obviously, the resolution controls, but just for clarification on that.
It is per parcel.
Question for council. These editorials, clarifications, we can vote, and we don't have to vote on making editorial clarifications, meaning that we don't have to vote contingent upon parcel and residence.
Craig, could I?
The resolution.
Right.
The resolution. Are correct.
Okay.
Right. So when you vote on the resolution,
there's... Your mic.
Sorry. the resolutions that are in the packet are correct.
Okay.
The staff report may have differed slightly in some of the respects, but the resolutions that you'll be voting on, I think, correspond to the actual charges.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that was my point. I was just, the resolution was correct. It was the chart in the staff report that I just wanted to clarify in response to the public comment that the resolution had the correct per parcel. It was just the table in the staff report was incorrect, but the resolution is correct. So.
Okay. Director Moonhart? No. Director Stern? No. Any other comments?
No.
Right. With that, take a motion.
Yep. I move that the board adopt resolutions 2014-05, 2014-06, 2014-07, and 2014-08 to levy assessments as listed separately in Exhibit A for Bay Druid Estates, Vista de Oro, Drainage and Wastewater Assessment District, Service Number 1 Assessments. Authorize the district engineer to add the $5 per parcel administrative charge to the wastewater bond assessments and district staff to submit adopted resolutions and tax rolls to the county for collection.
I'll second.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I have a roll call vote.
Director Ohilski.
Yes.
Vice President Wright.
Yes.
Director Storm.
Yes.
Director Moodhart.
Yes.
President Baltimore.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, so now comes item 8. For public comment.
7B.
I'm sorry, 7B. Sorry. I know. I'll explain once. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, let's move to 7B. Public item 7B. Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the board, the item before you tonight is to adopt the CPI rate increase to the special fire task for fiscal year 2014-2015. And adopt resolutions to levy and approve collection in the 2014-2015 tax rolls. Before you start, you have a corrected item with regards to the resolution. As was noticed and advised to staff, the date of the CPI that was shown in the resolution was the dates were incorrect, so that has been corrected and it is there before you. In addition, in your motion, it says 2013-2014 on the staff report, and that will need to be, the motion would be for 2014-2015. So staff wanted to make those two notes to you. This special tax is a result of what was adopted in Ordinance Number 2005-01 in February of 2005. The change in the CPI is defined by the average of the percentage changes between the...
All right. Thank you. Any questions, clarifications from the board? Director Ohilski.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment, because this would be part of our FAC report, which would be too late, because this item will already be voted on. But
okay.
That issue was raised at the FAC meeting regarding the dates, et cetera, and so... That's part of the genesis for the amended staff report, was the input that we received at the FAC meeting.
So very good.
That way I can cross that off my FAC report.
Okay. Director Moonhart.
I'm just curious, and I apologize for not remembering. Did we do a CPI for fire tax last year? Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other? No. With that, I would like to open up the hearing, the public hearing, for item 7B, the adoption of a CPI rate increase for special fire tax fiscal year 2014-2015. Yes.
Richard Margetson. March, I'm glad that you got this corrected after finance. I take it you were probably the one that pushed this, but at some point, don't you believe that we got to do something to correct it officially? Because even now, the resolution is contradictory to the ordinance. And I'm not sure if I'm correct, but I think the ordinance supersedes. I know the history. I know how this all came about using December CPI, but I think maybe it's time, now that other things have kind of calmed down, to see how we address this so it's consistent, so in the future we're not dealing with the same problems. Because you're basically adopting a resolution that's now contradictory to the ordinance, but the other way it was, you couldn't do it, and it was, you know, you couldn't come up with the correct numbers. So I know you're in a hard situation there, but maybe you can address what the process would be to actually have them be consistent in the future without having to redo the entire ordinance.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, I'd like to close public hearing on item 7B, the CPI rate increase. Yes, Director Ohilski.
Yeah, and regarding Richard's comments, there is an inconsistency that's something that we need to look at long term, and I think now that with the bankruptcy being done, we do need to address that inconsistency because it doesn't work properly. The inconsistency is we have to adopt on July 1st, but it says that the CPI is based on the following fiscal year, which ends the day before. So, and you don't get CPI updates on 2 days' notice or 3 days' notice. You get it on a month's notice. So we just need to figure out a way in the long term how we can make sure that we have the proper consistency between the two ordinances. It's not a big problem, but it's just something that now we can address to make sure. Because we should be looking at a calendar year CPI rather than a fiscal year.
So this brings up two questions. One, just to confirm, are we in conflict, Council?
Well, if this were the first year that this would have occurred, then I would tell you that yes. But the practical circumstance is you've picked two indexes that are annual, go from January to December. You adopt these resolutions in July. Consequently, there is no current CPI indexes for those two indices that are placed in the ordinance. So what has been done practically in interpreting that ordinance is to say the preceding index would be the one that applies, and that's what's happening here. We're using the January through December 2013 CPI indexes for San Francisco and Los Angeles as being the basis for the amount of the percentage increase that we're using in July of 2014.
Go ahead, Director.
Unless we're in a disinflationary period or a deflationary period, this is actually going to mean that it's less than it would be, right?
More than likely, it is less. I mean, sometimes it's going to be more, sometimes it's going to be less.
The harm to the taxpayer is there's no harm. It's more, it's lower than it would be if we had the up-to-date CPI figures.
Well, I think, you know, the issue is the ordinance says June 30th.
Right.
And like Marshall was saying, you can't come up with that number. So I think in the long term,
right,
the ordinance should be amended.
Well, we have to find an index then that we can monitor in June.
I mean, no, we change the ordinance from June to the end of the year.
To the end of the year?
Okay. So with that, any other comments from the board?
Right.
No, I think you covered it.
Okay. With that, do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion. I move that the board...
Okay.
I move that the board adopt resolution 2014-09 approving the CPI rate increase and approve the levying and collection of the special fire tax assessments as listed in attachment Exhibit A and submit to the County of San Luis Obispo for collection in the fiscal year 2014-2015 tax rolls.
And I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, can I have a roll call?
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes.
Thank you.
That was a roll call vote, not just roll call. With that, item 7C.
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the board. The item before you is you're going to conduct a public hearing so that we can take the LOCSD water accounts that are delinquent and place them on the tax rolls for future collection. This is standard operating procedure for the district, and you have done this in the past. This year, you only have four accounts that need to be placed on the tax rolls. So this is small in comparison to what has occurred previously. It is the responsibility of the owner of the property, which has furnished services to the customer, shall be responsible for all the payments of all the rates, charges, and fees, including penalties therein, especially as we have furnished the service. Unpaid obligations shall run with the land and shall create a lien on the property, and we are preparing this in accordance with that. And this concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Questions, clarifications from the board? No. Seeing none, I'd like to open up public hearing on item 7C, adoption of resolution submitting district past dues water accounts. Seeing no public comment, I'd like to close public hearing. And with that, bring it back to the board for discussion. Seeing no discussion, do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that the board adopt resolution 2014-10 confirming the report of the district general manager for delinquent water collection charges and authorizing the collection of delinquent charges on the county tax roll.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, can I have a roll call vote?
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. With that, is finally, trying to cut to the chase earlier, is item 8 on the agenda, public comment for items not on the agenda. Before we begin, quick show of hands of how many people tend to speak on the item? On this item, on item 8. Okay. So that's good. With that, we are going to go with 3 minutes for your public comment. And so, again, our bylaws ask that you make yourself known so I can, again, monitor the time. By standing up in the background and then coming to the podium and stating your name and where you're from. You're going to note a green light, if you're not familiar with this, and then that green light will change to yellow when you have 1 minute left. And then it'll turn to red, and it makes a sound that lets you know that time's up. So just to let you know so it doesn't catch you off guard. No, you don't have to use the whole 3 minutes. Okay. So with that, I'd like to open up item 8A, public comment for items not on the agenda. And so if we can take a minute or two. And just one quick comment. If we can hold our eating because the wrapping paper makes a lot of noise, and so I'd like to treat the public comment with a little bit more
So, again, right now, I saw about eight hands. I see two or three people in the back standing up ready to go. I don't want to cut you off. All right. Thank you. All right, hang on. So, our first speaker, our first commenter.
Frank Salio, Los Osos. My discussion today, again, when I've been before this board, is the water in this area. Right now, Salinas Reservoir, San Margarita, is 30.9% full, twice as much for the same amount of water. The other issue, and I haven't heard very much about it, is the third of the basin that's being pumped by private wells. What is this board doing to incorporate them in some way into saving water or helping in some way to pay for any conservation measures to protect the basin? We're running out of water here. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. Rob's right here. He knows it. He's been involved in this for years. I don't understand why this board hasn't looked at the Ojai plan. It was presented to this board years ago about they have something similar to what Paso Robles is proposing, special legislation. They've incorporated all the well people, whether it be private wells or wells like the CSD or Golden State. And Golden State is part of that board down in Ojai. Everybody is responsible for the water down there. Paso Robles is working towards that issue. This area has known longer than Paso Robles that we have a problem with seawater intrusion. We're going to get to a point where we're going to have this salt water coming out of our wells, and Paso Robles people have already woken up to say, hey, if we don't have water, our property is worthless. I don't want to see that happen to Los Osos. Are we going to have to truck water in? Because I gave you the stats on the other water. The whole state is almost in dark red. That's what they use to show the drought.
Right.
Please do something.
Thank you. Well, that's Frank, I want to thank you again. He spoke directly to me, and all comments are supposed to be towards the president, not anybody else. And so, thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Dari Komen. I've been in the area for about a year and a half after spending the first 74 years of my life in Baltimore. Moved out here after my husband passed away. My daughter and son-in-law are out here. And I moved into Sunny Oaks, Shady Oaks.
Sea Oaks.
Sea Oaks. Thank you. Was feeling a little lonesome living there all by myself and got myself a charming, charming dog from Woods. In the meantime, I've been less and less able to walk, and the dog is more and more able to walk. And I've been having, at this point, can't take him for a walk. A lovely neighbor of mine has volunteered to take him out. But what would be wonderful for me is if I could go to a dog park with him, take him off leash, let him run around to his heart's content, because he has to pee on every piece of grass, every flower, every look at every other dog. And a dog park would just be life-saving for me and make him very, very happy. As I've been talking to people, and I must have talked to 50 people just in the last 2 days, everybody is very enthusiastic about a dog park. We are the only community that doesn't have a dog park in the area. I understand somebody's willing to give us the land. I don't understand all the ins and outs of the permits and stuff, but I know that it would be just a wonderful thing, and that everybody is very, very enthusiastic about it. So if there's anything that you all can do to move us along to have a dog park, I think that would just be wonderful. I know everybody was here. I had dozens of people. I drove up and down the street with handing out posters to everybody who had a dog, passed them out at Lemos and Susie's place and the vets and just every place. And everybody said, oh, yeah, give me one, give me one. It's very wanted and very needed. And anything that you all could do to help this come along would be just very, very appreciated here. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I'll start off by speaking about the dog park. I'm in 100% support. As you know, the property can be built on any time once the plans are approved, but they already have permission to put a straw, 16 straws in the basin. Their proposal is to put build on six empty lots in the CSD Water District, four empty lots in Golden State. And if you will not issue will serves, you will send them to Golden State, and that's a complete loss for our water district, who needs extra revenue. And I don't. And then I would like to remind everybody that there is an election for three new CSD board members, and this is a really good time. I think that should be probably the main platform. If a candidate is supportive of uniting the basin with one water overseer, one purveyor in our served water, I think that's the person that we need to elect. And I urge people to step forward by August 1st, but no later than August 1st, and get their applications in if they're interested. And I certainly hope we do have some interest in people that would like to take over Golden State. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Leslie McCants. I live here in Los Osos and have done for 10-plus years. I have three dogs and three cats. I have to travel in order to take them to an off-leash area that is fenced. And that's been a hard thing to do over the last few years. If we can have an off-leash dog area in Los Osos, it will be taken care of by the people. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, I'm Misty Wyckoff, and I'm a resident of Los Osos for 10 years. And I just wanted to make my voice heard in favor of the dog park. I'm not sure how all of this works, but is there a way it can get put on an agenda so we can be talking about this instead of a haphazard way? And if you're looking for people to be on the committee, I'd like to volunteer to offer my time to be helpful in any way. So thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Andrea Luker, and this is my first Los Osos CSD board meeting, so that's exciting for
me.
I'm a proud 28-year resident of Los Osos. And I firmly believe this is the finest city on the coast. First of all, I've been watching your meetings because I just switched to charter, and I want to let you know that I think you're doing a great job. It's tough. Hang in there. Keep smiling. It's a hard job, but I appreciate what you do, and most of the residents in Los Osos do as well. I don't want to speak to item 12 tonight, but what I understand is that if item 12 is approved, then that leads us a little bit closer to the possibility of an off-leash dog park in Los Osos. It would certainly be a great addition to Los Osos. The standard for parkland is 4 acres per 1,000 people, so we're clearly pretty deficient in parks. And even though it's a dog park, it's a people park as well. I'm confident that if we were able to get the land for a dog park, then similar to Morro Bay and Cambria, people would come forward, and the CSD wouldn't be on the hook really for anything, money, no labor. It would probably all be done through volunteer efforts. So again, thanks for your efforts, and I hope that I can soon take Miss Matilda and Mr. Kuma to the dog park. Have a great meeting.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hello, I'm John Zwemer of Los Osos. This is my first meeting, too, and I grew up here, so the dog park is pretty important to me. It seems this is more of a bigger project of it. The developer wants to put in green building. I'm also completely for that. That corner has been disgusting to look at for years and years, decades, and something needs to be done. You know, any kind of substantial development that is done anymore, it seems like it's a requirement that some form or fashion of a park whether it be a small people park, a kids park, a dog park, is included in these things anymore. So if that can all be worked out, I mean, it's going to be an ongoing thing here. This is my comments for the future. I'm for that whole corner to be facelifted and made nice. Los Osos needs more new, nice things here, and it will bring the community together. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name is Daryl Rowe. I'm part of the Los Osos Investment Group that kind of brought this dog park concept to the community. I think it's very important that you know we're trying to build water-neutral development. Right now, we can currently go in and build 12 homes on the existing lot on Pine and Los Osos Valley Road, or we can hopefully, with your blessings, move to do infill lots and build, I think, as someone else mentioned, 6 in LOCSD, 4 in Golden State, and 2 in Sunset Terrace. So we've got 2 directions to go. There's, of course, 3 purveyors in town. 2 of them have already said that we can go ahead. We have will serve letters, and now we're asking LOCSD to allow us to do the same. That's all I really have to say right now.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Sarah Cohen. I live in Los Osos. My daughter attends the Village Children's Center right across the way from the proposed dog park. Before moving here 3 years ago, I was a member of the community in Burlington, Vermont, and I was also a member of a dog park advisory committee operated by Public Works that was looking at the issues surrounding dog parks in that city. I am here to voice support for the dog park to say that we currently travel to San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, and Cambria in order to exercise our German short-haired pointer, Rigi. He's a dog that needs exercise or else he can't be the good dog that he is. And I find it disheartening that a community that we've come to love and enjoy being a part of does not have a place where we can exercise him locally. That also includes the students from Cal Poly where I work, but the students that I hire to at times come and walk him as well. And that they have to then travel to those communities instead of being meeting other people in this community.
Our individual needs. This is an opportunity to have a place where we all can heal a little bit after all the arguments and all the sturm and strong over the last several years. I look forward to it.
Thank you. Any more speakers on item? Oh, I see 2 more speakers. Okay, thank you.
Richard Margetson, completely different topic. There'll be plenty of time to talk about the dog park and the water issues. But there's only going to be one opportunity to do this. The middle of this month, a couple that have been very generous to this community and have helped on a lot of issues over the years will be moving from the area. I'm speaking about Martha and Leon Golden. Not only are they one of the most generous couples I've ever known, they were big supporters at the beginning of the Needs and Wishes holiday fundraiser for the homeless. They've been big supporters of people helping people in the community center over the years. Numerous other charities around the county and state and nationally, and I know of their generous nature from my personal relationship with them. Leon Golden, Martha was never on a committee in Los Osos, but always supported the issues that were good for the community in the background. But Leon was front and center on a number of things. He was chair of the finance committee during some very tumultuous times in this community, one of them being the conversion from the past fire hierarchy to the conversion to CAL FIRE. Leon was part of the group that defeated the first fire attacks, and after that all died down when a reasonable fire tax was calculated. actually volunteered and led the committee. He was co-chair with Jerry Walsh on Yes on AO5, which lowered the original special fire tax proposal from $125 to $40. After that fire tax was passed, he was also instrumental in convincing the board then, the general manager, and CAL FIRE employee or hierarchy, that we could have an increased level of service in this community. He's also been a member of the Fire Safe Council for years. His dedication to emergency services and fire protection in this community will be sorely missed, above and beyond all the other things that he's been very supportive of this community and me personally. I'm going to miss him. I think the community is going to miss this couple. If you see them around town in the next couple weeks, say hi, but also say thank you. They'll be sorely missed. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow, and all the paper is in the trash. Does that make you feel better, Craig? Okay. I've been a dog lover for a long time, and I'm very sympathetic. We need a dog, official dog park, but we have plenty of space right over here where you can walk your dogs if you want to, and plenty of people do it off-leash. So I would like to point out the developer involved here is dealing with a property that was approved for 21 units of affordable or senior housing, which we desperately need also. And I don't think a transfer development credit to vacant lots is an appropriate way to go about it. I think one of the speakers, a tall gentleman here, pointed out that there are ways of working things out, and I'd like to change the subject to water. Golden State Water, as you've heard, is charging twice as much for your neighbors across the way on the other side of Los Osos Valley Road. And I formed a community organization called Los Osos Flow, built a website, had a town hall meeting, and then I was invited out of the organization by the members because I wasn't a Golden State Water user. I don't think that was the reason, but I do feel like we should go ahead and put it on the agenda to discuss the buyout of Golden State Water. You represent the whole district, and those people in Happier District are really hurting. Some of them are afraid of losing their homes over the cost of the sewer and the water. So, you know, Mike Wright said he's interested. Mr. Ohilski said he's interested. And I would agree with Lindy Owens, the three people that are going to be running for office should run on buying out Golden State. The opportunity...
I'd like to close public comment. Item 8.
Mr. President, may I just interject?
Yes.
At the end of the... While the dog park people are still here.
Yes.
At the end of the last meeting, you appointed me to head an ad hoc committee looking into parks and recreation. It's my intent to do that over the course of the next month. If people interested in the dog park want to let me know what they think about it and what input they can give me and help me in that, I'd be happy to include that in my report.
Thank you, Director Storm. Thank you very much. All right. Item 9, administrative and committee reports.
No fire. No. Yeah. Oh, sorry. The items before you this evening. Phil Benares, your battalion chief, is here to give his fire report. And when you get to the utilities report, Margaret Faulkner is on vacation. The report is online if people would like to view it. He just got back.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, both here and watching on TV. My name is Phil Benares. It's an honor to be here once again. You have before you the May 2014 Chiefs Report. In the month of May, Station 15 responded to 109 calls. Statistically, every day. Statistically, it's very average. 13 of those calls were back-to-back, which is higher than normal. 6 of those simultaneous calls required advanced life support. 70 of the 109 calls were medical aids, 27 requiring advanced life support from the paramedics. There were 4 traffic collisions and 10 fires, which is higher than average as well. Company 15 came back a total of 16 times to assist the station personnel. In the administration side of the chief's report, it details some personnel changes. Over the last couple of months, we've been talking about folks who are getting promotions and moving on for other reasons. We now have some names to put in those slots as we return folks back to the station. Paramedic engineer Seth Neuslander, paramedic captain John Pearl, and firefighter 2 paramedic Keely Moriarty have all been placed into Station 15. Both Seth and Keely have been in and out of the station for quite a while. Keely is Neil Moriarty's sister. Seth has worked around in the battalion and in the unit for quite a while. John Pearl is a good addition to the department and to the unit. He's been a paramedic in San Mateo, Santa Cruz for about 20 years, so we're real happy to have him as well. We're not sure exactly where he'll end up, but in the short term, he's working at 15 now. We talked about last month some problems with air gas. We were able to get resolution with that, and that came out really well in our favor. I found out later that there's some other customers in the area that are having problems as well. But Airgas, once they understood the issue, was very helpful with us, and we were able to come to a solution that actually reduces our oxygen costs. In training, it details some training that the reserve firefighters did. That was a culmination of last month's swearing in, so I'm not going to go into that. In the end of May, we did some training with the rest of the county stations in the South County on a Diablo Canyon response. The results that I heard were very favorable for both the department as well as the station. The folks did very well in their exercise. In Section 8, 9, 10, it talks about special projects that are going on. Engine 15 did some maintenance work and was spent quite a bit of time down in Southern California, probably more than I expected, although I did expect it to go down there for warranty work just to take care of loose ends and make sure it's exactly the engine that we want. So we're happy to have it back. We started the hazard abatement program in the month of May as well. And so I can give you some information on that after having done the first couple inspections. The first, we inspect just a kind of a summary. We inspect every occupancy, every APN in the district, and go through and ensure that they have stuff to meet Title IV as well as Public Resources Code 4291. And Title IV talks about the hazard abatement as well as addressing, so that's what we looked for. On the first inspection, out of all the thousands of lots in Los Osos, 160 notices were sent out. About 130 of them were for some sort of hazard abatement, and about 30 of them for addresses. Very, very statistically average. It's about what we do since I've been here for the last 10 years. The second inspection has already been completed. We got those 160 down to about 40 violations still out there, and roughly 30 of them are for hazard abatement and 9 of them are for addressing. So we are getting quite a bit of compliance. I can tell you that the third inspection will go out sometime in the second to third week of June. Folks will be going out there and doing that. So we strongly encourage folks who have still outstanding notices to comply with that, and we'll work with you on
it. It is our staff's intention to publish the adopted budget in final form during this month also. We have had to make changes to our HR program and the reconciliation of various accounts. We've also made adjustments for increases that are always necessary at the beginning of a new fiscal year, such as increases in the PERS rate, adjustments in the workers' compensation rate, and of course the adjustments with the SDRMA rate plans that we are party to. Staff met with Barnett Cox on the marketing plan for the outdoor conservation program, and Barnett is currently developing a schedule and alternatives for delivering this message. I received a draft late today. The district received 2 statement of qualifications for the water rate study plan, one from Bartle Wells and the second from David Tossage. Proposals were referred to the leader of the appointed rate subcommittee. The subcommittee consists of Rob Miller, Leonard Motart, and Ron Munns, and they will be reviewing the proposals and recommending a selection to the board of directors. All other items are on the agenda for this evening for your consideration. This concludes my report.
Any questions, clarifications from the board?
Well, I have one. It goes back to the utility report. I know Margaret's not here, but last meeting I had requested we start looking into the charges during the yes. wastewater project, and so we have a date?
I don't have a date. I have all the information, and so it's a matter of completing the analysis, and then I will have information for the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. LOCAC report.
I had to ban tall people from using this microphone. Just kidding, fellas. Okay. I am Vicki Millage, the chairperson of LOCAC, the Los Osos Community Advisory Council, for those of you in the room who haven't been through this before. The major agenda item we had at our last meeting was James Caruso, senior planner from the county, talking to us about revisions to water ordinances, just continuing with the theme that goes through all of our meetings. LOCAC will be focusing on the potential, or making some suggestions, I should say, on regulations about outdoor water use. What's been going on, what's being closely controlled is indoor water use. And according to Mr. Caruso, the coastal areas have been doing a terrific job of conservation and reducing water use, and about the only place that we can see that there may be even moderately significant gains in conservation would be for outdoor landscaping water use. Depending on what neighborhood you walk around in, I'm actually quite pleased to see in my neighborhood most of the few remaining lawns are looking pretty darn brown. Yes. Okay. We were also asked to generate ideas for the gap years. Those are the years between now, when the water use ordinances are being revised and updated, and when the basin plan is actually implemented. So we have a gap in terms of planning for projects that LOCAC addresses. And we're still mulling what kind of process we're going to use to address these items. And I or Paul will be back to tell you what process we're using and when and where it will happen. And a note regarding the dog park, just want to let everyone in the room know that LOCAC is in full support, even our members who don't have dogs, of having a dog park in Los Osos, preferably fenced, preferably with a water source. And we are not, until it becomes a project, we won't have any direct official involvement in such a park, and we support it. One of the things that everyone can do is, in a few weeks, the community plan update will, the review draft will be out, and LOCAC will be having some sort of community input process. Again, we're still mulling that. But the community plan will be the standards document that will control every possible development in Los Osos from now until it's updated, or from the time it's accepted until it's updated. One of the major sections of the community plan has to do with parks and recreation. It has to do with everything else, including drive-throughs, height of houses, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, I will be asking you all to help us publicize the dates of our review meetings. And we want
The other question, I know that LOCAC has, the times I've been there, parks have come up several times. Has there been alternate or different various suggestions of how to obtain parks and how to obtain land for parks?
When we had a Parks and Recreation Committee, we did a fair amount of investigation in that. Since LOCAC cannot raise money, we can't do it directly. So we keep coming back to the point of saying pretty much everybody on the council is willing to work on such a thing. Mm-hmm. But as an entity, as an official entity, we cannot yet be involved in a project. We don't get to start projects on our own as LOCAC.
But you can, you do interact with the county in terms
absolutely.
Of being able to make
yes.
suggestions and
oh, yes.
requests.
And we do.
Yes. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for coming. It's always good
my
to see you.
My great pleasure.
Nope. Thank you very much. The Emergency Services and Advisory Committee report.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, we met on June 17th at Station 15. The minutes were reviewed and approved. Went over the financial updates for Fund 301. We also reviewed the CPI that was on the public hearing we had tonight. The other item was an update on the Los Osos Habitat Conservation Plan, Section 7 permit. We're still waiting on the Federal Fish and Wildlife. They have a delay due to staffing, and hopefully we're going to get something from them within 60 days, which probably means 60 days plus, but we'll be still pushing them. And that pretty much concludes our report.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? No? Thank you. The Utilities Advisory Committee report, please.
Yes, Mr. President, our Utilities Advisory Committee was held on June 11th. All but one member were present. Our first agenda item was to discuss our outdoor water conservation program. The committee discussed each of the 10 elements of the program and gave constructive input. Staff will be making appropriate changes to the program. There were two elements that I'd like to bring to the board's attention tonight. First was element number 7, which is known as the Speakers Bureau. This includes all of us board members utilizing speaking opportunities to promote conservation. We all either know or are affiliated with the various community groups and organizations, so we are encouraged to take advantage of these opportunities. Myself, I've done a few, but I know there's probably more opportunities out there, and I'm more than willing to do more or assist any other board members wishing to make a presentation. So that's just something to keep in mind. The other element is number 10, which is called the Outdoor Water Conservation Incentives. The committee recommended that the board move forward on this particular item, and it provides monetary incentives to district customers to replace or upgrade irrigation systems or become more efficient. Upgrades would include replacing old timed systems with maybe with weather-based irrigation controllers and replacing old sprinkler systems with drip irrigation or high-efficiency sprinklers, voucher programs for purchase of drought-tolerant native plants, etc. So I mention this one because the committee recommended that the board move forward on this, and I'm going to request that staff be directed to present the outdoor water conservation program at perhaps our next board meeting, and that the board considers a path forward. So I'm just giving a kind of a heads up on that one.
Okay. Was there by chance a dollar amount they recommended on that?
There was not. That is okay. Something that that's the board's
okay.
job.
Yep.
Yep, that's what they're looking for us from us. Our second agenda was a discussion regarding CIP prioritization. District Engineer Rob Miller presented a CIP priority matrix of potential projects and approximate cost to the committee. The matrix is divided into four categories: basin plan, infrastructure, operational, distribution performance. It was generated from the previous CIP spreadsheets and the basin management plan. So the committee was given a chance to review the matrix and ask questions and discuss. The UIC will continue its discussion and prioritization at our next meeting, and then that would be presented to the board.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? No? Thank you. With that, Finance Advisory Committee.
Yes, we met last Monday, June 30th. I'm just going to go through this briefly because I do have comments on, I already made the comments on the one item that was on the agenda, the fire tax, and then I do have a comment on another item on the agenda subsequent. But at the beginning we approved the minutes, and as an editorial comment, we'd still like to see some consistency between the minutes, between the various committees, and that's something that the committee expressed concerns about. I know we have action minutes, but the question is how far do we go in including comments, or where do we go? And there seems to be a feeling that there's inconsistencies between the various committees. So we just, that's a concern that I've raised, just to make sure that we do have consistency between the committees. And I don't look at the other committee's notes or minutes, so I just raise that as an issue. Fire tax, I already did that. We already recommended that there was some changes that needed to be made to the staff report, and those changes were made, and we approved that. Going over the warrants and registers, there was a couple of real comments, or pardon me, specifics that were raised. One was the telemetry charges, Mr. Gene Heyer, who has background in that area, is going to work with staff on trying to see if we can reduce our telemetry electricity charges because they seem to be a little bit out of whack. And as we all know, if you update, it costs you money to update, but it's energy savings in the long term. So that's something that he's going to be sitting down and discussing with staff as far as ways to maybe reduce those costs. Another item on there was the bond reserves account, and that's on their agenda, for reserve accounts, and whether or not why we should still be paying that money, since basically the funds are all collected by the county and it's a tier account, so maybe we can get rid of that as an annual expense. And the chairman, who was involved in a bankruptcy, volunteered to contact the bank and work with them to see if we can get that taken out and just rely on the annual payments. So I'm going to do that myself. And then there's a couple of other items I have upcoming on items that are on the agenda, and I think it'd be better just to bring those up at the time rather than take them out of context and have to repeat them twice. I don't know. Michael, do you have anything to add?
No, I agree, because most of the items are on down the road here.
Just clarification, so you're hoping to free up the bond reserves. Right. Okay.
I'm not trying to add.
Right. Any other comments or questions? To address one, the minutes in the inconsistencies between the different committees, staff and general manager are currently working on that. All right. With that, ISJ.
Yes, President Baltimore, members of the board, I've been asked to give a report regarding what's known as the ISJ, which stands for the Interlocutory Stipulated Judgment, and that was in a case entitled This District, LOCSD versus Golden State Water. That case resolved by way of a stipulated judgment that had a number of parts to it. One was a development by the technical group of a basin plan. Second, implementation of that plan. Third, finance of that plan. And then at the end, the determination of the relative water rights of each of the purveyors. As public knows, last year, right about this time, the draft basin plan was circulated for public comment, and I don't remember if that was for 45 or 60 days. The technical group received those comments and have made changes to the basin plan. It is still going through some tweaking at this point. The primary focus right now, though, are on the second two steps, which are implementation and finance, and how to do that equitably amongst the all of the residents that reside inside the basin, as opposed to having that fall on specific individuals within the basin, but not all of the people within the basin. Those are the kind of issues that we're looking at now. The final issue is in regards to water rights, which is an important issue. It deals with, in terms of the straws that are presently in the ground, who has credit between the purveyors for what proportion of that water. As the public will recall, approximately 6 months ago, we retained a water rights attorney, and that water rights attorney is working on that specific issue for us. It's to our advantage to maximize, obviously, the percentage of water that historically we've taken from the basin relative to the other purveyors. In terms of time,
is director announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars.
Well, I have one because I attended the LOCAC meeting on June 26th and updated the LOCAC and the public on our last meeting here. As was mentioned too, James Caruso, the senior planner of the county, was there talking about water, and they do not like being in the water business in the planning department, and they appreciate the work that we're doing. And I thought was interesting, and came out of that conversation is, you know, this water neutral idea and the 2-for-1 retrofit, is that we have been doing such a good job that they're starting to run out of places to go for the retrofit. And that's just an interesting side note about how well, you know, Los Osos as a community has really been working on water conservation in that sense. And again, like Vicki was talking about, it's outdoor water use. That's the big item now, is how do we get a handle on that? So, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. Director Olsky.
Well, on the brighter side, as everybody knows, I'm president of the California Special Districts Association chapter for San Luis Obispo. We had our meeting where, and our emphasis on our June meeting is always the tax revenue projection, property tax revenue projections for the upcoming fiscal year. So we did get our report from the auditor's office. Mr. Hamilton came in place of Mr. Erb. But property tax revenues countywide are projected to increase by 2.9% over the previous year. Los Osos runs just about at that number, so it's about a 2.9% increase in property tax revenues that should be anticipated in the upcoming year. So, and then our next meeting is going to be discussing planning issues that address the special districts, including the area plans for the coastal areas. And I have another committee I can report on.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Keep rolling.
LAFCO, I also sit on LAFCO board. We're in the process of doing our sphere of influence updates. And we have Los Osos is one of the spheres being updated this year. It's the coastal community service districts that's our emphasis this year. There's primarily no change to the sphere of influence or anything relative to Los Osos. There's some tweaks relative to some of the language that's in there, primarily regarding the water situation. But other than that, there's no substantive changes being recommended. We did approve it conceptually at our last meeting, with final action to come back at our next board meeting.
All right. Thank you. Director Moonhart? No? Okay. Thank you. Do I have a comment? No. All right. With that, I'd like to move to agenda item 10. Nope, not yet. Hang on. any items? Well, first of all, are there any items, General Manager, that should be continued at this time?
I would like to.
Yes, there is, and Board Member Olhelski would like to address that item.
Okay.
Yeah, based on some conversations that we had at the Financial Advisory Committee meeting on Monday, I'd like to pull item...
Continue.
Pull or continue?
Or pardon me, continue, not pull. Continue item 11G.
11G.
So we could, Michael and I could get together with staff based on the input that we got at the Financial Advisory Committee and come back with a revised... a revised resolution.
Okay.
So I'd like to continue that item.
All right. Even though that item might be continued, the public does, if they wish, have the right to speak on that tonight, if they wish.
At the end of the meeting.
There's public comment in regards to the consent item, and since it was on the
agenda. Oh, I see. So I got you.
We're not pulling it.
Right. Okay. So during the public comment items, item 10, they can speak to that item if they'd like.
Right, even though it'll be considered on a future agenda.
Correct. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Any other items to be pulled or continued? All right. Seeing none, then I'd like to then move to public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda, including items that are continued.
Disrobe here. Hello, my name is Al Barrow. I'm talking about the utilities report. I thought they had a really informative graph. It shows the water tables, a lot of graphs, a lot of hard work. Really nice job. The other half of the basin, they're pumping the water. They're telling everybody, if you conserve, we're going to charge you. And the California Public Utilities Commission allows them to do that. Lost revenue. $600,000 that people who conserve water had to pay extra last year in the Golden State area. So they're not trying to manage the basin. So the ISGA report to me reflects that you still have a corporate model of running their water company, which is pump and sell. Well, on this side of the field, it's more conserve and be careful with what you can do and make it last as long as you can. You should be buying out Golden State Water. The CSD was going to do that, but the sewer got in the way back in the early 2000s. So if you have that whole basin, then you don't have this horrible situation where you can't balance and you have to borrow from revenue, reserves just to make the thing go. This is a ridiculous model, and it's based on water consumption. So if you double the amount of people that you have by having the whole thing, then you solve your all kinds of problems, including the basin management plan. So you really need to put on the agenda, and you're the one that's blocking it, Craig. You're blocking it. Not being on the agenda is a bond issue that could be, take place in the November election and solve the problem.
Ready?
Yes.
Lindy Owen. I wanted to start off on the admin and committee reports. I'm sorry that we didn't at least get a breakdown of some of the numbers on the utilities department report. Not everybody is going to go in and look at that, and this is our one chance to share what goes on in our district with the public through Channel 20. So I'm sorry that the general manager couldn't do a brief reading of that. And I wanted to discuss, I attend the utilities advisory committees. We're still talking about water conservation signage. It's inexpensive. It works. Letter to the editor today from a Cambria resident even saying that even in Los Osos there's some signage about water shortages and please conserve. So I just encourage that we get, you know, put another $300 or $400 out and get some more signs on fences to remind people. I can drive past all the beautiful green lawns. I drive past, you know, water just running down streets. Even this park is being, we're wasting water. I consider it a crisis at this point, and I don't want to see us dally around anymore. I would encourage from the LOCAC meeting, I would encourage that the annual joint meeting when the community plan comes forward with its draft, that be a joint meeting. We have not had one of those in several years at this point, so it's an opportunity to get it televised and to for you to input on some of the issues that will be coming out on that draft. I also wanted to talk about the action minutes that are being taken. They're pitiful. There is a faint recording kept at the utilities meeting, at least, and the finance meeting. You can barely hear what's on those. And to make minutes where you just say, John, Sue, and Mary spoke, it is, why bother? So I disagree. I don't know when that started, but I believe it was when the new manager, I'd like you to go back to at least stating what people talked about. Those of us who participate, we're trying to be involved, and those minutes show nothing. Lastly, 10F or 11F, adopt resolution to permit the destruction or disposal of certain district records. Please do not dispose of those until there's more of a community discussion at the meetings. We have talked about destroying the VHS tapes. Some of those are important, and I would like to, you know, hear more of a discussion before they get destroyed. I know that right now you're having to go back and look at some of the 2006 records. So the idea of just destroying them without any other discussion. And lastly, the elephant in the room that I keep asking about is the study that is going to explain to us how we are going to survive without our waste franchise income of $150,000 to $180,000 a year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Martinson, quickly, because there's so much and we only have 3 minutes. I agree with Lindy on the records retention. That should have been an actual agenda item to have that discussion. If you need a place to store those videotapes, I'd be happy to store them in my storage unit. I think that's a mistake, huge mistake, especially with all the issues that have transpired. And the reason, you know, he flowered it up that night, I'm sure. I wasn't there. I couldn't make that meeting. But the reason there's no credits is because a member of the public at a LOCAC meeting brought it to Mr. Gibson's attention that credits inside the prohibition zone shouldn't be used to build in this community when the project required toilet retrofits anyway. Shouldn't be a double benefit. That's why they're running out of credits. They can only get credits now outside the prohibition zone. There's only 700 homes. That's the issue. The bond reserve discussion, just for clarification, so there's not a discrepancy out there, Craig. Marshall's not looking to free up the bond reserve. He's looking to eliminate the additional $25,000 payment in the future. We still won't be able to touch the rest of that reserve, the $700,000 that's in there. So just so that, and maybe, you know, maybe Marshall and legal counsel should touch base on before that discussion's had with the bank, so everybody, as opposed to one board member taking a position for the board. And again, on the reserve, can I just finish this on the reserve?
Sure, go ahead.
You have this agenda item on the adopting the reserves. Part of the resolution has the adopted reserve schedule, and there's some discrepancies. Marshall didn't bring them up that were pointed out at the Finance Committee that in the packet they're still not corrected, and I think it's a misrepresentation of what the goals are in the future.
Thank you. All right. I just would like to make one quick comment that was brought up. It's also brought up in the UAC, and it has to do with signage. And signs, after if they don't get changed, just become blurred in the background, and they really are a good reminder. So if we could make some effort to change our signs at minimal cost, I think that would be a good thing. And so just like to make a comment on that.
I have a comment. I know on 11F, in regards to the destruction and disposal, came up FAC that your staff is going to be looking into possible, like Cal Poly or the library.
AGP is, it was AGP or the library. AGP is actually going to acquire the tapes, and if they're any good, in other words, if they can be, they will put them on a smaller media. If they're not, there's nothing they can do with it. And as you know, VHS tapes do become destructive over, do deteriorate over a period of time.
All right, yes, yeah. Director Husky.
Just a couple of clarifications. I do understand the $25,000 on the bond, so it just that's not a problem, and I will talk to Michael about that. But regarding the budgets and the discrepancies that are in there, the reserves, pardon me, the last item, what the fact discussed and what staff discussed was the fact that we're going to go ahead and approve these, but they can be changed. But we do have to do that, adopt them as part of our budget, and they were deferred at that time. So that's the reason that it's coming forward at this point. So there may be some adjustments as we move along. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a snapshot in time. Okay. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah. One quick comment on the minutes. I know with the other committees, you've talked about coming up with a consistent way of doing the minutes, but I do want to just make one comment about the Utilities Advisory Committee, because we did take some criticism on the minutes, and I just want people to realize that the previous month Ann Kudart wasn't there, and other staff members took minutes, and we said at the beginning that this is not our specialty, that the minutes may not be as up to Ann's standards. So that I just want people, that if they didn't realize that, that is one of the reasons for the utilities.
All right. Thank you. With that, I would like to, where are we? You can get a motion for adopting the consent.
Item 11G, and to approve items A, B, A through F, and H.
You have a motion from the board?
So move.
All right.
I'll second the so move.
Any discussion on the motion? Yes.
Just a brief discussion. I'm going to...
I know that there's been some discussion that we're going to be considering some specific will serves tonight. That is not the case. We're going to be discussing our will serve policy and nothing in regards to any specific application.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. We did think it would be appropriate at this time to bring forward some of the key policy questions so staff could have some direction and bring back to you documents and actions that would hit the mark. So I thought I'd spend a little bit of time going through three basic issues tonight. One is a few comments about the intent to serve process, because there's one potential action you could take tonight that's purely process-driven. Talk a little bit about new development and try to categorize that so we're at least all talking the same language as we consider this. And then maybe give an update on where we're at in measuring the physical characteristics of the groundwater basin and how this relates to the issues. So those three things. Try not to be too repetitive with the staff note here. First, a few notes about the intent to serve process. We do have a written process whereby applicants who want to develop a piece of property that's either vacant or underdeveloped, it's a two-step process, saying this for the public. First, the intent to serve process, where we look at our water capacity, the ability to provide adequate water to serve that development. And then once that's done, ultimately culminates in a will serve, where we actually look to set a meter and begin service. One of the issues that we've discussed at our committee level for quite a bit of time is the extension process of our intent to serve letters. And that's been an issue previously because we have had water supply issues here in the district, as everybody knows, and the continual extension of those intent to serves has been an issue of discussion. And so one of the items that staff is bringing before you tonight is a potential action to put limitations on the number of extensions that would be allowable for our intent to serve letters. And if you flip to the very last sentence in your staff note, there's a potential action there where intent to serve letters would have an initial life of 2 years, and then with an application, you'd be allowed to have an additional 1 year, but no more than 1 year. And after that would expire, and you'd have to come back and reapply. So that's one administrative issue that we're bringing forward tonight. And that's been in discussion for a number of months at your committee level. I'd like to also speak about the second item, the issue of new development. And I think it's important that we all understand that really there are two, at least in terms of the district, because our district is within the Seward zone, with the exception of the middle school there. And really, there are two types of new development for the purpose of this discussion. One is development that must be served by the wastewater project in order to be approved by the county. That's one category. And then there's development that doesn't require such an approval, and that's a different category. Dealing with the first category first, in order to be served by the wastewater project, there's a condition that was written into the county's coastal development permit, Special Condition 6. And that's reprinted in detail in your staff note. But basically what that says is that before any properties that rely on the wastewater project are developed, the Coastal Commission will require that the community plan that you've heard about in the LOCAC discussion be fully updated and implemented, and that evidence of adequate water supply be established before any further development occurs that's subject to that condition. That's a high bar. I can't say that condition is very specific as to what that means, that adequate water supply is established. But I can tell you the county will have to walk through the details of that process, and that'll be a very public item before any development can occur that's tied to the wastewater project. We certainly would have the opportunity to comment as a district on that county process when that comes out in draft form. And I think we're going to see that in the coming months. It's not going to be a long time before we see a draft on that. So that's one category, development that would be dependent on the wastewater project. The second category would be development that's not dependent on the wastewater project, and the project type that we've heard about over the years is that exchange type or water neutral development, where you're taking down one unit and building another unit somewhere else. And that type of development, and that's something that this district was willing to go forward with on its own if necessary, but we have received agreement from the other participants that they will fund their proportionate share of that. And so we do expect to bring back before you at some time in August the results of that sampling event, and looking forward to seeing that, and also looking forward to encouraging the other participants to bring that testing regime back more often. We'd like to see it happen as often as twice per year so we can walk in lockstep with the county's normal water level monitoring and have a more robust picture of what drought cycles, wet cycles do to that seawater front. And so those are the three items that I wanted to highlight this evening. Be happy to answer any board questions and to receive board input.
If I could provide some statutory context for what Rob's talking about. You saw in his staff report that he referred to a potential for a moratorium. That's under Water Code 350. And under that water code, you have to make a finding that's pretty draconian. You basically have to make a finding that you don't have water to even serve your people that are presently drawing from your water supply. And when you make that finding and you go on 350, that basically puts you in a position to perhaps get other funding for that, but that just means that there won't be any will serves, won't be any intent to serves issued from that point until your water supply gets to a point where you are able to not only serve your customers, but then you have water, supplemental water or excess water. Don't want to use supplemental water in that context. Excess water to serve others. The second code that you can rely upon that doesn't require that kind of finding is under Water Code 375. That allows you to place regulations in regards to how you handle intent to serves and will serves. Generally, when you're adopting an intent to serve policy and a will serve policy, that policy should be based upon when you have water. So that policy should deal with all circumstances when you have water. The policy that I'm talking about under 375 is what happens when you're in a drought and how you basically deal with applications for intent to serves and how you deal with applications for will serves.
You know, I represent the Napomo Community Services District, which is an adjudicated water basin, not similar to this one, but is facing similar issues. There, all of the participants in the what they call the NMMA, which is similar to your ISJ, have adopted standards as to how they're going to deal with requests for intent to serves and will serves based upon stages of drought going escalating. When I mentioned that to Rob and when we talked about those criteria, he basically said our water basin's already in the fourth category, which would almost be to a point of declaring a moratorium under Water Code 350. That's based upon the amount of seawater intrusion that was evidenced in that 2009 report, the fact that we've had two drought years, serious drought years, and the likelihood is that I don't want to say likelihood. There is substantial evidence, perhaps, that seawater intrusion will have increased. At this point, that discussion regarding ITS, how you handle them by regulation under Water Code 375, has not been something that's been discussed in the same way in this groundwater adjudication. But that's probably something that we should be considering. So.
Thank you, Councilor. Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Director Mudhart.
Just under the 375 drought scenario, does that designate how you get back out of the moratorium? Is it?
No, basically the way that it works in Napomo, because they adopted the policy, so it's a public record now. At water severity or drought severity 3, what they do is they say they're no longer going to process new intent to serve applications. They'll continue to handle already granted intent to serves and will serve applications. When they get to stage 4, they stop processing the intent to serves. They start processing already existing intent to serves, but they'll still do will serves. When they get to stage 5, they're basically making the 350 moratorium finding, and basically they won't honor will serves.
Okay. Question for Rob then. Our water.
How do we continue to get into it? But the question is, how do you get out of it?
Okay, as you go up in stages, which means that your water basin is going down, so your actions are more severe in each higher category. So stage 3, the water levels here, you know, say 50%. Stage 4, you're at 25%. And stage 5, you're about 10%. So as you go back up, as you get more water, you get out of stage 5, you go to stage 4. You get out of stage 4, you go to stage 3. You get out of stage 3 because your water levels are increasing. Eventually, you get out of the water stages, and your will serve policy runs unabated at that point. But
so I guess I just want to make them crystal clear on this one. So there's some objective standards.
Yes.
That are criteria. So in our case, since we're not dependent upon surface water, it would not be the amount of water we have stored. It would be seawater intrusion or some other objective standard.
Yes. You would not use the same standards in this basin.
So that takes you down as well as moves you back up. That's all I wanted to clarify. Thank you. I did have one other question.
Okay. Please.
Rob, I just want to clarify. Coastal Development Permit Condition Number 6, you talked about the county implementing blah, 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 blah. But also that requires the Coastal Commission to certify that implementation is being appropriate, correct?
Absolutely. And, of course, that's the county it would be trying to frame it in such a way that it would have a good possibility of being approved. Right. But that's true.
But the final say actually would be the Coastal Commission.
Would be the commission.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good clarification.
Thank you.
Director Storm?
Yeah, I have a few questions. Director Mudhart, has the UAC gone over this at all?
Yes.
Yes.
This is something that has come from years of discussion, but this year we attempted to update our emergency water ordinance, and we have come to a certain point where the rate study is very important to it. But we are all along with that process. We are developing our own triggers for various stages of severity, so that we can take action to mandate conservation.
But as far as the intent to serve policy or the...
No, we have looked at it, and this is the result of it. This is
the result.
Yeah, Rob, is that...
Yeah, I think that there's really two things, if I could, Mr. President.
Yes.
One is the UAC's comments and discussions over time. The other is the staff responding to current realities in terms of applications that are pending for water exchange development, and seeking some board direction so we handle that in a way that would be appropriate. So both goals.
Right. My understanding of your question is the intent to serve adequate water supply is part of that. Our emergency water ordinance, adequate water supply is part of that. So there's an overlap there. Adequate water supply.
I think that's well said.
Yeah.
Director Wright? Vice President Wright? Director Storm, you have another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
He equals last.
Oh, he goes last.
Go ahead. Well, I just want a question, so do I get to go?
Yes, you do.
Oh, if you want to do one at a time, I can wait, but...
No,
okay.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to echo Director Ohilski and Director Moodhart that I think, you know, this has to have clear standards for how you get in and how you get out of it. This reminds me a lot of the emergency water ordinance you talked about, because the first thing I wonder is then what are the other purveyors going to do? Are they going to, are we going to move in tandem with them, or, you know, is this going to be something that affects part of town? And I think I unfortunately know the answer to that. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's an important point. I mentioned it in the staff report for that reason. The other purveyors, two types of development, if they can get a letter from the regional board, they'll issue a will serve for exchange development. And for offset development with the county's 2-to-1 offset program, they'll issue a will serve. So the district is likely to be out in front if we do something different than that.
Let me just say I...
Occur or could occur. One could think that that is, quote, entitled use that can occur. Is it a direct reduction in current water use? You know, maybe not.
Right.
So we have our eyes open on that, but it's certainly perhaps an entitled use that could occur if no action's taken. So that's how we're currently viewing it.
And I just want to know how many. There's a proposal to change the people that would get extensions or renewals. How many people are looking or in that state
where they one or two at this point. Some have come back multiple times, and it seems like 2 years goes by in a heartbeat, and here we are for another extension. So because conditions change, the idea was let's go ahead and put limitations on those and have a fresh look at a new application when that third year
expires. Is the renewal just, it's automatically granted? Is that?
Well, no, you come by and you'd have to apply. And we've always, if there's an application, the fee is paid. Mm-hmm. Administratively, the staff would support it and bring it back to the board for the renewal. But you wouldn't see it biannually over and over again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Director Ohilski.
Yeah, I have one last question, then I'll have some significant discussion after public comment. But I know we talked about, and this is actually for both of you, but we talked about trying to work on some consistency in the will serve letter policy among the special districts in the county. How does that play into this process, or does it not, or Just
The policy that was submitted to the UAC some months ago now was the draft of the standard policy for all special districts.
So this is feeding off of that?
Yes.
Any need to add anything to that? No.
Oh, I was just going to mention, if I could, that because in Los Osos, the sewer moratorium is unique in the county, so we have some special conditions here also.
Yeah. I just want to know how the whole idea of us, you know, fed into the... I've got it.
That's good. Director Moonhart? Yes?
No.
Okay. Vice President Rice.
Thanks. In regards to the three different purveyors, how different are the intent to serve, will serve policies? I mean, are they anywhere near consistent, or like Golden State just go for it?
I'd say they're very different. The district has a more extensive policy with steps than the others, which is generally just issuance of a will serve.
Okay. And then the other question I had was, this goes to the planning process. Now, you need the intent to serve before you can go to the county, correct?
Before they'll let you walk in for that development
okay,
plan.
Okay, fine. Yeah. And with all the hoops people have to go through, Coastal Commission, everything else, habitational issues we have out here, is this going to put people in a bind by having these restrictions on here? Like, you know, instead of, you know, having the actual limitation of time with one extension, 2 years plus one extension.
I suppose if you are still in the coastal development permit process after 3 years, are you going to have ultimate success there or have your efforts stalled out? I guess we'd look to hear from the development community on that, but my impression is 3 years is probably a fair limit. Certainly subject to public comment on that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, my turn.
So just kind of taking these, so as you put it out there, the wastewater impacted properties. Currently, as it's been put out, nothing can be done because the wastewater project or the county itself has to approve that. So even if we were to have an intent to serve policy, it would be almost moot because the county sort of has jurisdiction. Is that correct?
That's my view on that, yes.
Okay. Has the county is supposed to, from what I understand, is to show that a water supply is established. Have they given any indication of how they're going to go about doing that?
We expect a draft that we can comment on formally, and your board can comment on, I think near term, in the coming month or two, maybe as early as a month. And to see that language, because I've always wondered, is it going to be we started some of our capital projects, so we're good, or we're going to see seawater retreat, so we're good. So
that sounds like a legal description and not a physical.
Fully agreed.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fact, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legal fact if they have the entitlement to pump and to use. That could occur again. I mean, that's the physical part.
Right.
But it's not necessarily, you know, someone shuts it off today because it's being used today and moves it somewhere else.
So are we looking to, the county has to establish that the water supply exists. For the CSD, is it the recommendation to see what the county says and then add to it or take away, or for us to establish our own, how do we say that we have adequate supply? Is that what give directions to you to say that?
Because the county's process is going to take a very long time, because it's got to go all the way through the commission before it's real. That's a long-term perspective. Staff has some shorter-term issues that we need to deal with now, so we'd look for some direction on exchange or neutral-type development now so that we can take the steps necessary to process it.
Okay, so that's exchange neutral. I think I got a good understanding of that. What about adequate water supply? Does staff have a comfort level of where, how to establish that? Or does staff prefer to, or is working with county to establish that, since the county has to do it anyway?
I think staff or the county's process is interested in a retreat of seawater intrusion and seeing the county establish standards that have physical measurements to them.
So basically we have to wait for data?
I mean, if from the county's perspective, if they are putting physical criteria that are monitored, that would be consistent with the district's staff's current thinking for allowing new development.
Okay. So I'm just not asking a question, I'm just going to paraphrase before I go to public comment. To me, it sounds like that for the, at least myself as a board member, I need data before I move forward with a definitive direction. But with that, and it sounds like that's what staff is saying is not currently there. All right, one last chance. Yes.
Okay, and thanks for the update on the how uniform the special districts will serve process is now. I guess it's been implemented, all this, but no. It's just proposed.
Right now, this was the, all that months ago, was the first experimental case to see how it went.
Okay. In that light, the wording of that process, does the staff recommendation fall within that? Or is it... This is like addendum one of, it's a different process.
You're speaking of the recommendation for the extension?
Right.
Because we have a unique condition here, the other districts may not have the same challenges that we have. So this is one item where we may be on our own a little bit because we've had such a long-term inability to process will serves.
Yeah, the expiration will be consistent. There will be expiration in all policies. The UAC made it more restrictive by the 2-year with 1-year extension being the limit.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, I'd like to open this up for public comment. First speaker. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Al Barrow, and I appreciate the well thought out discussion and all the contributions that everyone's made. And I've never heard Mike Seitz talk for that long before. So we appreciate your research. It's very helpful. I'd like to point out that in this room in 2005, we had a, it was 2006 or 7, we had a tech memo on water supply. And it was determined by the county in the tech memo that it would cost $35 million to put a pipeline to use exterior water or water from outside of the basin. So my point being that we are stuck with what we got, folks, pretty much. The second point I want to make is the point that's already been brought to our attention by Director Storm, and that is that Golden State Water is going to issue permits and is probably not going to comply with our particular laws or rules in regarding will serve permits. In fact, because their motivation is profit, they're going to pump and party because they're going on. And a lot of rules and regulations, and it takes some pretty good legal counsel to dig through all of this stuff. And the point that I see is that if we had Golden State and we purchased them, a lot of these issues would be solved just like that, overnight. It would simplify everything so much. But if you want to wade through it and, you know, host Golden State, then that's the price we'll have to pay.
Yes, go ahead.
Lindy Owen, I wanted to, it is very complicated, and I think maybe breaking it into
our CSD emergency ordinance is one stage that we can be at. The next one would be, and then put what a moratorium would look like next to it, a full basin moratorium request to the regional board and the Coastal Commission. I'm not sure who would approve that. But ultimately, I'm questioning why the ISJ isn't the vehicle to process this, because it's the only one that gets all the players in the room and sit, you know, we're sitting down. And I mean, we haven't talked about the John Doe well, the outside of the, I mean, all the private wells. There's at least 500 of them that no matter what we do, they can empty the basin if they want to. They can, you know, at this point, I imagine if they want to set up outside sales of their water, they can do that. So we don't really have equanimity or consistency on our basin except through the ISJ. And I think, to me, it feels like that's where this issue should be settled, as far as test, if we're testing every 6 months, twice a year, to see how fast it's dropping. And I really support that we put meters on all the private wells, find a funding source for it. I do not believe that's their responsibility to pay for it, but we need to know how much is going out of their, what their straw is drawing. And there's a 20% decrease in use. It's just a common, it's odd that would be 20% reduction just by having a meter on a private well, but it brings them into the same world that we're in, which is, you know, not taking showers, letting our gardens die, while they are out there watering for their, you know, grass-fed beef. So I'm feeling that definitely, and the other issue is the treated wastewater when it gets back. The county has a discuss. I mean, it's a terrible plan. They really have no place to bring that water back. Ideally, I've heard the suggestion that it go into the creek entry area, and that could actually hit our supplemental supply in the future. But at this point, the county is not our friend, and they don't really. If they were willing to take it outside our basin, 1 million gallons a day, and dump it. So, watching that behavior, I really question. I mean, Mr. Gibson has said that in 3 years we will have a water supply for the 500 homes or so. The $28 million that's missing out of our sewer funding is all the undeveloped lots. And Mr. Gibson says there will be a funding source. So better figure out all this stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi. My name is Sandy Bean, and I'm a realtor in Los Osos. Since 1978, and I participated in helping the retrofit system when it began in the year 2008 because I own 3 vacant lots in Los Osos, so I just wanted to protect the use for those lots. And I can tell you that I'm not here to talk about those lots anymore because that work has been done, but I'm here to talk about the community of Los Osos and our lack of water. We all know that the retrofit system worked very well, and we've seen the numbers. We've seen how much Los Osos has conserved. But I'd like to point out that some of that conservation happened by people that were more motivated than other people. I mean, some people living in Los Osos were still growing grass. And because of these 3 lots that I have, I had toilets in my car more often than not, and it was almost a full-time job. So I honestly feel that if you place a moratorium in Los Osos now, you will be taking away the opportunity for some to become creative and spend their money and spend their time in trying to conserve water for the community of Los Osos. So
wells within the last year. There hasn't been a modeling since 2009, but I'm almost sure that seawater intrusion has progressed. Your emergency ordinance isn't in place, but the triggers that the committee we're going to recommend to the board, you'd be in stage four right now. We just heard the Regional Water Quality Control Board, this little nuance about how they give a permit. Sounds a little bit shaky. House that maybe hasn't been occupied for 8 years, but because it had a water source and had past history, even though Cedar Water intrusion continued to progress, they would get to move those credits to another property like nothing's happened. There's some issues that need to start being addressed at the regional board, that need to be addressed at the county, that need to be addressed at the Coastal Commission. And I haven't seen the rerun yet, but it was brought to my attention. And like I said, I have not seen the rerun yet. But the Coastal Commission, at their last meeting, had an item with respect to Los Osos where the Coastal Commission appealed a project in Los Osos. And I was told by the person who brought it to my attention that part of the issue was water. It's going to be interesting to see if the Coastal Commission is going to allow building and a repeat of what happened in the 80s based on a possible county plan and promise, as opposed to data that Mr. Gibson, in his first year in office, when he came up with those two retrofit ordinances for Los Osos, said at that hearing, it's on tape, there will be no building after the wastewater project until there's verifiable data that seawater intrusion has stopped. Now, maybe his position's changed. I don't know why, when it's the conditions gotten worse in Los Osos. But I think you need to get that ordinance in place. I think you need to get this modeling done to see where we are as soon as possible, even if the district has to pay for it. I understand the other purveyors are willing to participate. That needs to happen right away. We need to know where we're at. You're in level four now.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. Initially, I'd like to thank Rob Miller for an, as always, informative presentation. Appreciate that. The item before you this evening, at least in part, is about converting water wasters into water savers. Replacing older housing stock with green construction is the second type of development Mr. Miller mentioned in his presentation. In the case of the Los Osos Investment Group and the property at 2150 Pine, the Central Coast Water Board has made a determination that there are 12 transferable single-family residential units available to transfer from that property. As such, that development is not subject to what you heard from Mr. Miller, that is Coastal Commission Special Condition Number 6. Again, water neutral or water exchange development. The question came up about, is it really water savings? And I can tell this board that based on the empirical evidence that was presented to the regional board, that the property historically had used close to 5 acre-feet per year, and the proposed development of 12 units on infill lots throughout the community.
Excuse me, can you stop this time real quick? Can you speak in general terms and not specific terms?
Well,
because
I would like you to give
guidance to the board as the type.
I will get to my recommendations. Maybe that will help out.
All right, let me know if I haven't covered it.
At present, again, the water board has approved 12 units, and we believe that it's definitely going to result in a savings of water, as much as 2 acre-feet of water a year. And as you've heard, there's a mix, quite likely a mix, between the three purveyors of 6 infill lots under your service area four under Golden State and two under Sunset Terrace. Truly set the stage for this dog park to become a reality. Thanks for your help.
All right, thank you. With that, I'd like to close public comment. Yes, Director Ohilski.
I have to clarify something. I may have to step down. If we're not going to speak in generalities, I'm going to step down. So if we're going to talk project specifics, I need to recuse myself.
We really can't talk project specifics because that's not on our agenda tonight.
Right.
And I appreciate Mr. Edwards' comments. To the extent he was talking about general policy guidance at the end, that's what he was referring to. If I could, I'd like to make a couple comments from what I heard. And Rob, if maybe you want to go first?
No, please.
Okay, there was a question raised as to whether or not we could adopt an ordinance that somehow would affect other purveyors, and the answer to that is no. But second, what I can say is that Golden State did sign on to the regulations that are affecting the Napomo area, and they have the same lawyers and same individuals that attend those meetings that attend the ISJ meetings. I'm not completely convinced that if this board directed that we couldn't take steps to at least determine whether or not they would join us in these efforts. Sometimes you have to be the adult in the room, but in this case, I can tell you that Golden State, it's a similar circumstance in terms of water companies. There is Golden State and Rural Water Company. Here we have Golden State and S&T. All of them have signed off on the same standards in Napomo, and it's set up a little bit differently there to make that possible. But there's no reason why the same concepts couldn't be brought before the same parties here.
Thank you. Mr. Miller, do you want to make any comments based on what you heard from the public comment?
Mike did a good job addressing Al's comment. Also, to Lindy's comment, why isn't this simply going through the ISJ process? I think it is because the other purveyors have already made decisions. Some of the decisions we're discussing tonight, obviously they've already issued some will serves related to exchange type development. They've made that choice already, and they have a different view on it, and there was some consistency achieved in Napomo, I understand, but here they've clearly moved forward on their own. I think there can be consistency on certain policy matters, but on matters that are under the auspices of the PUC, Golden State will often refer to that they'd be happy to consider participation, but the PUC will be the ultimate choice of that. So that comes up a lot in discussion.
Good. Thank you. With that, I'd like to come back to the board for discussion.
If I could just make a suggestion on my microphone.
It's on.
It doesn't like me. If I could just make a discussion, we have three discussion points that are laid on the staff report. If we could do them in separate, I think it would provide a more productive discussion if we could stay on those points separate from each other.
Very good. How about we start with number one?
And I do.
Okay.
I would like to comment on that item number one about the time frame, and I share the same concerns that were expressed by Director Storm and Wright, just the time frame. It's on.
Do you want to switch?
We'll trade. Is that better? Yes, it is, obviously. I don't know why mine's not working, but whatever. Maybe, did you unplug it, Craig? Was that?
Yeah.
The time frame issue, if I could talk about that, because being in the business I'm in, as you well know, I think that, you know, a two-year time frame is a relatively short period of time, especially if you're looking at going through a county building permit process and potential Coastal Commission building permit process. So I think that time frame trigger just really bothers me as being too short. I don't know what the time frame should be, but I can speak to a number of projects that I've worked with people on, and, you know, 4 years isn't an unreasonable period of time to get approval in the coastal zone. I mean, it's just not. So I have a concern with that
year, the initial two-year period. I think, and I know Cambria adopted a new policy relative to how they're going to do their will serve letters and pending permits, et cetera, and I'm not sure the exact language that they incorporated, but something like during the time frame or during that period, you have to show substantial progress towards processing your permit or something like that. So you can't just sit back and let the time lapse. So you have to be actively pursuing the permit. But I just have a real problem. I don't think that 2 years is really realistic. And if somebody didn't like your project,
that 1 year extension can be extended each year. Yeah. Showing continuing process.
And perhaps, if I might, if the board's feeling that this requires maybe a little bit more framing, we could look at Cambria's standard, do a little bit more looking at it, and bring it back to you, try to hit the mark on that.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's a Cambria standard. There was some outstanding will serve letters, and they adopted this policy in regard to the extension of them, and I can get you the language on that.
Yeah, the substantial progress idea makes sense to me, because certainly if you're just sitting there doing nothing, you're not pursuing an application, that's one thing. But if you're trying to move it forward, that's another.
Yeah. I'm going to take Director Muthart's comment, but again, I like the idea of 1 year. They have to, the permit has to keep on showing progress. Even a hiatus will send it back to the beginning. Go ahead, Director Muthart.
I think that's currently in our policy.
It is.
The question here, I mean, there's 2 years and a one-year extension, and if you're showing progress, it's now, currently, you can, every year, you can keep going. And I think the spirit of the UAC was that, of course, they're not real estate people, they're water people. So it's, you know, the 2 years, and then they recommended a one-year extension because conditions in water change.
Right.
And to reapply during that process would be the solution.
Either I have no microphone or too much microphone. I think, you know, I have no problem with the termination on the backside, because I don't think having it go on forever is a really realistic thing. But maybe we could talk about, you know, the initial term being subject to the reasonable progress, you know, and then once they actually get their permit, they have one ability to do a one-year extension from either 2 years or 1 year from the time the permit was issued, if it was issued after the 2 years.
I hope that staff is taking comments on this, because it might come back.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, and we can frame something and get compare notes on that.
Director Storm?
The one point I'd want to make is that under our present policy, we've had a number of applications that come here requesting extensions on the same ground. And the problem that those come to the board, and usually you're having to make a determination as to each time as to whether or not you have adequate water to grant that extension. Okay. The position of the developer in question, at least that was stated before, was that we had to declare a 350 moratorium in order to say that we didn't have adequate water to allow for that extension of 1 year. The purpose of why we made these modifications to provide for essentially a lack of discretion for the board is to take that off your plate. Okay, that essentially whether we go 2 years in a 1 year extension or some other number that's larger than a three-year time frame, I would really not want this board to be in a position of having to make that determination of is there adequate water to allow the extension because there's been adequate prosecution of their development. We've dealt with that before. This policy was developed to avoid you being put in that position. And I'm just hoping that we can get some sort of compromise that makes it an objective standard as opposed to something subjective for the board to find.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see if somebody else.
Maybe. I just wanted to re-clarify, there's one or two of these going on right now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm not sure that they reapplied last year, but I'd have to.
So if there's one or two, that would be what we're trying to make this determination for?
No.
This is policy.
No, I understand, but if we didn't have that policy,
we could open it up to all of empty lots. Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate what Michael's saying, and I'm not trying to say that this would have to go through that. All I'm saying is the initial period, I'm not sure that the two-year time frame is realistic. That's all I'm saying. So if we said that they have a two-year time frame and then showing progress to the satisfaction of staff up to 4 years, and then 1 year extension past the issuance of the permit, subject to the discretion of staff, that's where I would like to go with this. And it doesn't come back to us. We're just giving direction right now.
All right, we got the idea. Looking at the time.
Well, yeah, I agree with Marshall on that too, because the reality of the regulatory environment we live in on the coast, it's not like
The rationale is that in that.
Well, hang on. Before we go there, I would like to get an idea from the board. Are we going to send this back to staff, or are we going to try to resolve this right now?
I think we should send it back to staff.
Well, then I'd like to send it back to staff rather than discuss whether it's 2-2, 3-2, 1.5, 6.5.
But we're trying to give direction. Yeah. I quite frankly agree with what Leonard's saying, 3+1. I like that idea. Because that takes the burden off staff of having to determine.
Right. Well, I'm confused, and why don't we just vote on 3+1?
We can't. We can just recommend to
staff.
Shall
a durable direction intentions, this is saying, let's just do the recommendation and say 3+1 rather than 2+1. I mean, if that's what we're saying. Otherwise, I want staff to come back with many options.
Well, that's fine, too.
I propose a recommendation of 3+1, and they can put that into the draft policy.
I like it.
And I proposed a 2+2. So,
no. Well, let's have a I can't even think now. A motion, and then we can discuss the motion.
Well, I'm going to jump off here and go with the 3-1 because I think your point. Well, no, your point is good though that it takes pressure off staff a little bit more, and that's the whole purpose is to not put all the pressure on the staff to constantly have to deal with these things. I just have one quick question as an aside. We're going to hear a lot of this phrase water neutral development. Okay. Is that even allowed within the prohibition zone? If someone down the road, or is that completely off the table for those folks, which is primarily our customers?
But that discussion is item 2 or 3. We can bring that question up.
Yeah.
So, do I have a motion?
I propose a motion to recommend to staff that we include the duration of the extent, the duration to be 2-3 years, and a 1 year extension for intent to serve letters. That
do
is
I have a second?
The recommendation for the amendment.
No second?
Well, I'll second that.
Okay, do we have a discussion on the motion?
I thought was the basis of the extension going to be substantial progress on the permitting? Just a 1 year extension under the current policy, which is. Is that different than substantial progress on the permit?
Yes, it is. Okay, it's basically, basically somebody that shelved it at year two and didn't pay attention to it, they're not going to get the full 4 years. They actually have to do something about it. But somebody who's in the process and is, what do you want to say, legitimate about it, basically there's a 4 year level.
That would be something that if we were going to include, I'd want, some kind of definition to anyway. I mean, it's because, if you have something that says like you're making progress and it's not
The whole idea is not to have it come back to the board to make a decision if process is being made. It's just that, you know, a professional is out there is doing due diligence, and they simply know that on this date they have to put in an extension. They basically have a four-year time, as opposed to someone that goes out there and says, I'll do this, and then at year two they forgot about their project. It just dies at year three.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but to get an extension you have to bring in your plans, you have to bring in documentation from the fire
now,
people. Yeah, it's in that policy, and that will still remain.
Yeah,
yeah,
I would think
that.
That would be the extension would be based upon some sort of affirmation by the applicant that they will be able to finish within a year. Yeah. Again, we just want to take it off the board, and also give the people in the industry some confidence that they got 4 years. Okay. So, any more discussion?
Just for the record, I'm still not comfortable with that, so I don't agree.
Because
I don't think the 3 years. 3 years is not a long period of time, and I can speak for probably the hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, or projects I've represented in the coastal zone, and I can guarantee you at least half of them have gone at least 3 years.
Right. So, well, my understanding, this is not 3 years, this is 4 years. Whether we do 2 plus 2 or 1.5 plus 2.5,
yeah,
you know, this is 4 years is what we're giving. And in 4 years, cycles can change.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we don't want to go 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 1,000, because cycles can change. So this is how I understand it. This is 4 years. Right. Okay. Mm. So one is, does it based on water cycles? One way to look at this. The other way to look at it is it's just based on, you know, the process that we've put forward. And so, you know, again, if a project takes 10 years and the water cycle, you know, we're now in level 5, should that project still go forward?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I leave it to the board. And with that, Director Moodhart, any last comment?
No.
Vice President?
No.
Director Storm? Director Holsky? Can I have a vote on the motion, please?
Just direction.
Yes. This is not direction. This is to amend our current policy to go 3-1, correct?
Yeah. The same statement at the back of your staff report, amend the district's policy. The language would be the same, with the exception of 2 years would become 3 years.
Right. Okay. So what happens with this? Is this just this? The WILSIL policy is not adopted yet, so when it does come back, this is what it will be, or this part of it will be put into our WILSIL policy? Excuse me, my mouth is going.
The way that this was placed in front of you is that you are setting the term that will be a part of your policy for the intent to serve being 3 plus 1. But you're going to have the opportunity to vote on the entire policy.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So this is direction then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. With that.
Director Moodhart.
Yes.
Vice President Wright.
Yes.
Director Ohilski. Director Storm?
No.
President Baltimore?
Yes. All right. Discussion number two, or that was before that. Let's take a motion to extend the meeting. Do I have one?
I motion that we extend the meeting past 10 o'clock.
Have a second?
I'll second.
Discussion on the motion? Can I have a vote on the motion? Do we not have to take a roll call on this?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah. Roll call. Vote.
Director Moodhart?
Yes.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Yes. With that, can we have a discussion on item two? Similar to other water purveyors, staff intends to proceed with the intent to serve letter for development of this water neutral. Okay, so here we want to discuss water neutral or offset policy. What sort of direction or amendment do we want to give staff on this? I'm going to start it off by saying that my current understanding is that I won't water neutral should be based upon current use right now, not something created in paper. So if somebody wants to take down 2 one-bedroom houses in one lot and another lot, put up two one-bathroom houses on two lots, razz them, you know, document it that they are now, and then build another house with two bathrooms, that's water neutral. It's on current use, not on paper use created some time ago. Anyway, that's I offer out there for discussion on this. And with that, Director Husky.
Yeah, and I'd like to clarify one thing, because I understand this, but the water neutral thing, as far as the county is current use at the time of the application, okay? What's the stuff that's based on historic is the septic discharge. So you're talking about two different things here. Septic discharge is based on what was the discharge at the time the prohibition zone went into effect, and that's what they use because they're trying to reduce or keep it consistent with the intensity and the quantity that was in effect at the time that the moratorium went in on septic discharge. But as far as right now processing a permit through the county for water, it's current consumption. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. So do we want to take a policy on being water neutral?
I have a question that I'd like us to discuss before we get into that. One of the things that's come up multiple times is, you know, we have three purveyors, we have ag users, et cetera. So the question is, are we making this policy, is it water neutral to the basin? Is it water neutral to our service area? And I think that's a basic question. How do you define water neutral? It needs to be discussed.
So do we want to give direction to staff on defining, how would we like to define water neutral?
Well, I think, you know, like council was saying earlier too, I mean, with the ISJ, I think it's a good opportunity to push with Golden State and S&T and the county that our intent is to be water neutral, and we highly suggest they join us in that effort.
An advantage over that person that, you know, they've now, their water consumption is a bazillion.
That's not water neutral. You're increasing water.
No. So currently, I got one house, green lawn, palm trees, you know, waterfalls, lakes, all that, you know. And they want to be water neutral. So they're going to take the 10 million gallons that they use every month and apply it to six other different lots. They're going to be water neutral, where that one house that uses 50 gallons a day can't do anything. So, but if you just say, hey, you got a bathroom there and you want to be water neutral, then get rid of that bathroom and put a bathroom over there, almost in exchange.
Mr. President, when you have time, just one thing to consider, and it's speaking to that very issue, is to be a little cautious in that if they have a water meter today and an active service and no permit or barrier to use of that service, if you come up with a policy that says we want to see current use, you may be encouraging, maybe without meaning to, them to go out and establish a use just for the purpose of meeting your threshold.
Okay, so then if I understand you correctly, what you're saying, if there's a meter, then that meter can be moved around. That's water neutral?
And I don't know what the situation is for individual projects, but I'm just suggesting that as a consideration, that if you set it up so where they can run out and use water for 6 months and then come back, that's
right.
Just a that might be what you want to do, but it's just something to think about.
Well, there's another one. If they already have a meter, they can move that meter around, but it's based on adequate water, and staff has got to come back for us with some sort of metrics to determine if we have adequate water. If we don't have adequate water, then meters cannot be moved around for those meters that haven't been using water. I mean, this is not a simple, we're going to resolve it tonight.
Totally understood, and I appreciate you going through the process of helping me hear your thinking so that we can frame this more accurately.
Right. So I'll shut up a little bit right now.
Me too.
Mr. President, may I make a comment? Board Member Olhelski raised a good point, too, that we do need to have direction as to whether is it just the community services district or is this water neutral between purveyors. So that is some direction that you are going to have to give Rob tonight. Thank you.
Or the ag concern.
Or the ag concern, yes. Thank you.
Well, I agree. I think it has to be all of the above, because we all, it's the same basin. If this is the opportunity that we can help, you know, the entire basin, we have to take that opportunity, and we have to state that to the other purveyors.
It would seem basin approach is, makes the most physical sense, since our boundaries are artificial.
Thoughts?
And this is obviously, we're struggling with this, but I have a question for you, Rob. I know, like, for the retrofits, it was 2-1, et cetera. It's, is there any other district in the that you're familiar with that they would do that kind of offset on? In other words, you could have to require 2 meters to build 1 meter. You know what I'm saying?
No. Where there's a multiplier put on the
exactly.
exchange.
Put on the exchange, not just on fixtures, but actually on...
I haven't seen that. Not that it doesn't exist. I haven't seen it in this county.
I've just thrown that out as a potential. And I mean, I don't. I'm not saying there would be a multiplier. I'm just asking if that's something that's used.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
I'm just trying to come up with something that becomes more simple to apply that isn't subject to interpretation. So,
gotcha. Director Moonhart.
I agree with. I appreciate the points that Director Ohilski had brought up. It's added another dimension, actually, to the thinking. But I did want to just say, because there is an or offset. The offset thing, I'm not in favor of at all. I in terms of the way it's just not how Director Ohilski was talking about, but in terms of retrofits, that just, to me, is not really, there's a lot of hocus pocus in my mind about what happens on those things, and it's not very sustainable. How do you know it's going to continue on? So it's something I wouldn't want to entertain, but the water neutral, yeah, I think we should give some serious thought about that.
Director Storm?
The one, again, all of this, to me, the base is because you know, if you have a meter, it's existing, but no one's using it. Still, we got the adequate water supply, and I know it was mentioned that we're going to have some seawater intrusion tests.
I mean, I like the language the way it is now. Similar to other water purveyor staffs, intends to process, intend to serve letters for development that these are water neutral or offset in accordance with county requirements, but just saying it's basin-wide rather than just in our district. And then the question would be, if we do adopt a moratorium, I mean, that would then also apply. We wouldn't be issuing intent to serve letters. So that's, I guess, the ultimate insurance policy, correct?
Does that make sense, give you direction, Mr. Miller?
Yeah.
Okay. Does the board feel warm and fuzzy?
Except for maybe the offset part.
So just put a period after neutral.
Yeah, put a period after neutral.
Yeah, an offset development is not common here in the district because we're in the prohibition zone.
Yeah.
Right, and we have to have the county requirements because of the wastewater project.
Yeah, it's already
we wouldn't have
happening.
A problem with striking offset from that.
And you could offset into the agricultural zone, which is a definite benefit to us. I mean, if it's a 2-1 offset and some guy's pumping 600 gallons an hour, I mean, there's a benefit to offsetting, I think, if you go outside the prohibition zone. There's clearly no benefit to offset inside the prohibition zone. But I think there is a benefit outside.
Is that possible to put into a will-serve policy, that type of language?
Are you talking...
It's a county ordinance. It's a requirement for new development unless you can show the county that it's an exchange or neutral. They're going to require the offset regardless of what the district does.
Should leave offset in there.
Well, are we talking about a 2-1 offset? In here it describes a retrofit.
Well, I think it references
water is a different.
The offset. No. I mean, the county's position right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob. The offset cannot be within the prohibition zone. It has to. Is that not what Caruso said.
That's right.
It has to be outside the prohibition zone. It
must be outside, and that they're running out of
retrofits. Right. And most of the remaining retrofits, or pardon me, the remaining offsets would be in the agricultural purveyors at this point.
I haven't seen that framed yet.
I mean, if they're running out of retrofits, that would seem to me the only...
Those are all indoor retrofits for the most part, so they could start to attack outdoor.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Do we have a direction? Yes,
I just want to make sure. To me, it sounded like you guys were talking about two different things.
Well, it's
I thought, we, you know, one hand, we were talking about basin neutral, which would include the ag, but on the other hand, you were talking about offsets.
I think Director Storm, you're right. Correct me.
I want to be sure. That
Director
Moodhart,
I think, was saying that we were going to create our own offsets, but actually, what, as I understand, Mr. Miller, is that this is the offsets the county has.
Right.
So we're actually not doing anything with offsets. We're saying that as our policy, we'd like to be water neutral.
We'd like to be water neutral basin-wide, which would include ag.
The only thing that I was changing from the way it currently reads was we add basin-wide to clarify that it's not district-wide, it's basin. It's not within our purveyor, but it's basin-wide.
As soon as Director Moodhart says he's comfortable, then we'll move on.
I'm still not comfortable. quite frankly, even now that you've made it more clear, I'm less comfortable. In accordance with the county, this is the same county that allowed and that pumped water into the bay. This is the same county that hasn't really shown good faith metering ag or metering any other meters. I'm not comfortable with allowing the county have control of our water.
Is there wording from staff that
we'd like to bring it in?
Probably address Mr. Moodhart's concern or not.
Is that
if I'm hearing Director Moodhart correct, where there's water neutral development, you would support that. Where there's a required offset under the county, you wouldn't want the county to be the gatekeepers on what that means and how that's processed.
For us, yes.
So if that's the board's direction, I think that staff can deal with that.
That's why I suggested just putting a period after neutral. It's still water neutral and adding within the basin. The county's going to make you do the offsets from their point of view, and then for our policy, it would be we want it water neutral within the basin.
Well, right. I think maybe this needs another go around from staff because I like that idea of gatekeeper, where we become the gatekeeper on the offsets.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
All right. So, did we give direction?
I think you've been very patient.
Okay. With that, item number 3 is the moratorium.
We can place in front of you right now as being something that you can act upon.
I like that.
Yeah, I think at least 3 of us also expressed concerns about exiting a moratorium. So if I could say, if we're going to get something back on that, that it show us how we get back out.
Yeah.
Moratorium is it's a legally loaded term, but it's also just basically a loaded term. So maybe if it had if there was an exit strategy, there's another loaded term for you. It would help. Thank you.
It's a lot easier to get in than get out. I know exactly what you're
saying. So staff, you got direction on that?
Yeah, we appreciate it.
So could I just clarify in my own mind, what we did tonight was 3+1 for the policy, and then we decided that water neutral could be transferred anywhere within the basin. And
we're encouraging the other purveyors to join us in being water neutral. That's my understanding.
Everybody will be water neutral.
How does that work in the show? I guess I don't understand.
Well, we're trying to get the other people to play nice with us as far as being water neutral.
So where?
Because right now, Golden State, for example, they don't give a rat's. You know what? And so. I think by expressing that through the ISJ and really pushing it there, we can try to bring them in, like Council was saying, that it's working in Napoma, why not here?
So in the interim, we're keeping the same will serve policy that we have?
Until staff brings it, comes back.
Right. Correct.
We're not changing will serve tonight.
Okay. No, I understand that. But I guess I thought that when we were talking about number two, we were going to say intends to process intent to serve letters for development that is water neutral within the basin.
Throughout the basin.
Throughout the basin. Right. Okay, then why is what I said not
well,
right?
Well, if Golden State is again, funding supplying waterfalls.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I was confused, too. I thought it was just like Dr. Helsky says. So that we...
Yeah, I have one. Yeah, that has, I
need to. Are you okay, Director Wright?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, it's fine for us to state that also, but we need to express that to the other people also. But, I mean, if you want to be specific in this wording just for us, I agree.
No, I understand.
Also,
okay.
It needs to has to go to the ISJ.
I have one last question that I should have brought up before. We adopt this policy. How does it affect our existing will serve letter, maybe? So this is not retroactive. It's just outgoing from this point forward.
That would be a policy decision.
That's a policy.
And you'll decide
whether we grandfather or not will be policy decision.
Okay. Just want to get that out there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Item 12B.
Mr. President, members of the board.
Oh, no, do that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, okay. The item before you tonight is concerned with voting for the California Special District Association Region 5 Seat C for the board member position. There are three candidates who have submitted information, and that information is included for your review.
Hang on. I'm going to interrupt you. I just want to thank Mr. Miller for, again, his professionalism and clarity. You greatly appreciate it. And for staying so late. All right. Thank
okay,
you.
There are two candidates that are there, and then the incumbent, Vincent Ferranti, is running for re-election. And it's up to you tonight to select one of the candidates, and we will then cast your ballot with the California Special Districts Association.
Did anybody go up to the legislative days, the special district legislative days? Okay. I know of one director from another district who did. This is the only thing I can say because I don't think anybody here knows any of these people.
I do.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
Well, anyways, he came away impressed with Vincent Ferrante and basically convinced his board, based upon his talks with him, that he would be the guy.
Okay. So no discussion, but clarifications. Okay. Go ahead.
I'd like to go ahead and make a motion.
No. We have to go to public comment, don't we?
Yeah.
So I'd like to go to public comment on item 12B, vote for California Special District Association board members. Seeing none, I'd like to close public comment and bring it back to the board.
I'd like to make a motion.
Go for it.
I move that the board direct staff to submit a vote for Vincent Ferrante to fill seat C representing Region 5 of the Special California Special District Association, seeing that that was exactly what you just said was what I was going to say. So we're on the same page.
Do I have a side?
I'd like to be able to have staff present the outdoor conservation program to the board.
Sure.
And adopt that as a...
Yes, that's not a problem. I'd like to request that staff be allowed to continue to work with the marketing people because there may be some amendments that are necessary to the outdoor water conservation plan, and we'd like to take those to the UAC first and then bring them to the board.
So do you want to? Would you think we should wait
then?
Yeah, could we wait and we'll know more. They'll be presenting it again at the UAC after this next meeting, and at that point, then you can go ahead and decide.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep. Well, yeah. I mean, it could still be on the agenda because we have the UAC next week.
Well, you see, next week is prioritization of the
CIP.
CIP.
Yeah.
And
it's,
so.
It's, yeah, it's That's going to take a while.
We have both items on.
Yes, it's going to be a brief on the water conservation. He's going to update you with regards to what's going on with the marketing plan at the same time. He's going to bring you both of those under the water conservation.
Okay.
Yeah, we just are basically getting our consultant up and running. So the August meeting of the UAC is when the consultant's going to my understanding is hit the UAC for mega feedback.
Yes, we're hoping to have, we have initial draft proposal that is in front of me today, and I really need to run that by the UAC.
Okay. Then do we really need to have an update on the program? I mean, we talked about it, and we don't really.
There may be some changes. We agendized it in case you wanted to make some recommended changes to that.
Okay.
All right. Any other?
Yeah, subject to what we end up doing with it at ESAC, if it's just a warning that, you know, we eventually are going to want to, I mean, depending on what we do at ESAC, come up with that fire flow solution.
Do we need to agendize that to talk about fire flow and what we need to do? Is that, can staff just and run with that?
Well, we would need thinking we would need an ordinance if we were going to do anything with it. So
I don't know. Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm asking council on.
I've heard briefly the discussions that have been on this point, and as I understand it, it's standardizing fire flows throughout the district.
Correct.
Yeah, I believe that that would be done by ordinance.
Okay, and so is that when you work? Okay.
But like I said, subject to what we find out at ESAC, but that, you know, we won't be back here before we go to back to ESAC.
I think we'd be amending the fire code potentially.
Okay, fire protection code. All right.
Well, yeah, what you have to look at, though, is do we have jurisdiction over their hydrants? That's the issue, which we have to clarify.
Right. I think we're essentially providing as many resources as we can to the fire department to handle the issue. That's what we want to do.
Okay. So it might not be an order. I'll leave it. Yeah. We'll agendize it and talk about it. All right. Very good. With that, any closing comments from the board members? Director Ohilski. Go Giants. Director Storm.
I'd just like to thank everybody else, and unfortunately most of the people who came have left, but I thought we had a pretty positive meeting, and I look forward to that continuing.
Yeah.
Happy 4th of July, everyone. No.
Okay, my...
What's that? The e-cycle?
Yeah.
I'm a bad Rotarian. Yes.
You're going to get fined for that.
I'm going to get fined, yes. We're dark tomorrow. I've been out of town for a couple of weeks, so I haven't been to a meeting. But, yes, there is an e-cycle going on at the Methodist Church on Pine Street. It'll be next Saturday is the main collection, but we're collecting all through on the evenings, all through the week at the Methodist Church. That's e-cycle, so old TVs and computers, anything that plugs in. It is July 12th.
Thank you. I'll fill in for Leonard here.
Please.
July 12th, 9 to 1 at Trinity United Methodist Church at the corner of Los Osos Valley Road and Pine.
Thank you.
Vice President Wright.
Okay, I'd like to echo what was stated in public comment about thanking Leon and Martha Golden. I worked with Leon for several years on the Fire Safe Council and...
Grover Beach, Oceano. That didn't sound like Los Osos. Okay. And I'm just one more. So, again, there's zero tolerance. It's a pretty hefty fine. Well, and then my last thing, since our last meeting, I'd like to say happy birthday to Jennifer. And tonight and today, happy birthday, Paige. Thank you. Meeting over.